So if you have a Bible, would you open to Mark chapter 5? We're going through the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to do just a jet tour of Mark chapter 5, because we've got some baptisms to get to and some really cool stories of what God is doing in the life of Veritas and in people's hearts. So this week, a video went viral. It was a political candidate talking about one of the greatest issues facing America. Our prisons are packed. There's a drug epidemic in our culture, and this political candidate, not going to say his name because I don't want you to think I'm, you know, advocating for this person, but I thought what he said was profound. He just said, it's easy to be pro-life for a baby in the womb for 9 months because that child has not done anything to disappoint anyone. The problem is when the child comes out, grows up and makes bad decisions. And he's like, and I walk in and I see this girl, teenage girl strung out on heroin on the floor of the county jail. And he said, who's going to be pro-life for her? And that question just landed with me. And I hope, man, I want to vote for a president that's pro-life for her. But then I was thinking, man, am I pro-life for her? What about Veritas? Am I that? I know who's pro-life for her. Jesus. Jesus is more than pro-life for her. He's pro-eternal life. That's why he came. Jesus came for that girl. And this morning, we encounter a man who is so afflicted by demons, so overcome by darkness and evil. And it's one of the most amazing God stories, one of the most amazing testimonies in all the scriptures. This morning, big idea, the darkest darkness cannot keep people from Jesus. Isn't that good news this morning? That's why we're here. Doesn't matter what kind of darkness you bring into this place, there is no darkness that can keep you from Jesus. Or maybe better said, Jesus from you, okay? He's coming into your world this morning. And here is Jesus' plan to attack darkness. Three things. He's going to seek people in darkness. He's going to save people into the light, and he's going to send us back into the darkness. That's his plan. Let's talk about it. Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. The disciples at this time are already freaked out. They had just traveled across a stormy sea. Jesus calmed the storm. They get out. It's nighttime. And all of a sudden, this crazy man comes running at them from the cemetery, from the caves that he had been living in on the hillside in the mountains. This guy comes running at them. Imagine, I mean, this is kind of an eerie night. The sea had just been calmed, but what they were about to face was nothing The storm was nothing compared to what they were about to see. And I don't know if you've ever, I hope you've never been in this situation, but I was one time. A friend called me, hey, I need you to come talk to this woman. And he was in a situation. I walked in and was charged by this demon-possessed woman just wanting to attack me. It's scary, all right? And this, the disciples were in a situation where this man comes at him, and Jesus says, what is your name? And the demon says, Legion, for we are many. Legion was the largest troop unit in the Roman army, so probably around over 5,000 demons, you know, charging at them. We could spend a sermon talking about spiritual warfare and demons, but I want to point you to something more amazing. If you look in chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus had this idea, we need to go to the other side. He left a crowd of people. God was doing great things among this crowd of people in Decapolis. It's this Hellenized, Greek-influenced area. So a lot of lost people, people that don't know Jesus. And Jesus is like, we got to go over there. So he goes over there, leaves this crowd, comes to the shore. This guy charges at him, falls at his feet. Then this amazing thing happens at night with this guy. And then they get in the back, the boat, and they go to the other side. They go back to the other side, to the crowd again. Okay, here's what I'm saying, you guys. This whole crazy, dangerous journey across the Sea of Galilee was for this guy. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. This is the amazing thing about this story. Jesus planned to attack darkness. Jesus seeks people in darkness. It's why he came. If you look at this prophecy in Isaiah 42 about Jesus, it says this, I will give you as a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. Jesus is on a mission. This was prophesied 400 years before he came and said the Messiah is going to come and he's going to be looking for people in the darkest dungeons because he's on a mission with light, gospel light to shine. This man was isolated. He was an insomniac. He never slept. He was cutting himself, harming himself, terrorizing himself and the people around him, tormented, screaming. And this culture is a lot like ours. They didn't know what to do with him, so they put him out in the caves and shackled him. You guys, right now, there are 100,000 Americans sitting in solitary confinement. You ever been to prison? I have. Mike Quinlan, part of our church, used to work at Oakdale. Every prisoner in the state of Iowa comes through Oakdale, right here in Coralville. And we walked through and we saw these men. He also took me through the women's prison. Looked at these women, solitary confinement. You want to get your heart wrecked. Just go. Who's going to be pro-life for them? Jesus. Jesus came for them. He's on a mission to get this guy. And he's willing to leave a crowd to find this one afflicted man. Anyone here this morning, walking around in darkness, Jesus came for you. The person sitting in your chair is not here on accident. Some of you are probably wondering, even, is life worth it? Pondering suicide. This is an epidemic on college campuses. Stuff you don't hear about in the news. A student, within the last couple weeks, hanged himself in public. Some of you are objecting, this whole demons and Satan, aren't we a little past that? Wasn't that Salem witch trials and hundreds of years ago? Now we have science and now we know what's going on. But when you stare evil in the face and you see someone who's afflicted, you guys, that's why Jesus came. Who's going to be pro-life for them? There was a couple in our church that met a homeless woman and her three children. They said, "This is a problem. You're moving in with us, okay? We can't see a homeless woman with three kids and not take her in." So they took her in. I was talking to him last week, and I said, "Hey, what's the update on this woman?" And he said, "Oh, she stole our van and took off with her kids and our van." It's like, "Oh man, how are you doing?" And he's like, "Who cares about the van? We just want her to know Jesus. She's so troubled. Just wanted her to know the grace of God." Well, that's why Jesus came. Verse 11. "So a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, 'Send us to the pigs, let us enter them.'" Verse 13. "So he gave permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000. They rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs." Here's a question. Why would Jesus send these demons into these pigs? That's crazy. I don't understand that. Well, it says in verse 15 that this man was sitting there clothed. So he had been naked. The guy's sitting there now clothed and in his right mind. If I'm that guy, I'm still scared because I don't want those demons to come back. So there's at least three reasons I think that Jesus sent these demons into the pigs. Here's number one. I think he just wants to assure this man with tangible, physical evidence that the demons are gone. When you come out of darkness, don't you want to know that your past is gone? No better way than to say, "Yep, there it is. There it goes. All of them." Second reason, I think he wanted to show this man and the people watching what Satan's true agenda is. The Bible says Satan is a roaring lion. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan did to the pigs what he wanted to do to this man. That's his agenda. And it played out in the death of these pigs. Number three, I think Jesus wants to show his authority over evil. There were some Greek texts that were discovered in Egypt, and there were these long, convoluted formulas and enchantments and spells and catchwords to fight off demons. But Jesus rolls up and he's just like, "Oh yeah, come out of him." With an authoritative word, Jesus speaks and evil runs. So the demons tremble and they ask permission to enter these pigs. Jesus has authority over Satan. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who's the opposite of Satan? Not Jesus. Maybe Michael the archangel, but not Jesus. Jesus is the creator. You can't give Satan that much credit, right? He's not the opposite of Jesus. Let's talk about all the power that Satan has over those who are in Christ. None. Hey, this morning as we talk about this, it's easy to maybe fear, kind of like the storm, right? Oh no, there's a storm out there. And Mark wants us to know we have no reason to fear. Jesus is our authority. I mean, the only way Satan could be your authority is if Jesus isn't. So this morning, come, be in Christ, and be protected under the authority of Jesus. You say, but yeah, isn't he a roaring lion seeking to devour? He's on a leash, okay? The lion's on a leash, and God will protect you. The worst that can happen is you get killed, and then you get eternal life. Remember, Jesus is pro eternal life, so there's nothing that Satan can do to take the life of Jesus away from you. Here's the point. Jesus uses his power to seek this man in darkness, and now he uses his light and power to draw this man, to save this man into the light. Last point, look at verse 17. So they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Please leave. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Last point. Jesus seeks people in darkness. He saves people into the light. Last point, Jesus sends people back into the darkness with the light. That's not very nice of Jesus. These people are raging mad. And Jesus thought it was a good idea to send this guy back into that hostile darkness. And these people are angry. I mean, you can sympathize with them, right? Because, I mean, they can't understand what just happened to this guy. They realize they can't control this Jesus person. He just cost some farmer like $580,000. I asked my farmer friend, how much would this have cost you if it was your 2,000 pigs? And he's like, well, yesterday's hog prices and the cost of raising pigs and blah, blah, blah. He's like, $580,000. How would you like that? Jesus heals this guy. That's pretty cool. But I lose my, you know, $600,000. You leave. And Jesus sends this guy back, and he's like, you got to stay here. He becomes the first missionary in the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? This man, tormented, afflicted man, gets healed and becomes the first missionary that Jesus sends into this dark world. And here's what Jesus tells him. Hey, tell him about God's mercy. This man would become a walking trophy of God's grace and love. And he says, just tell him your story. And just tell him about how much God loves you and has had mercy on you. This is what happens when grace breaks in. People get healed. The darkest darkness, Veritas, it cannot keep people from Jesus. And Jesus has a plan. He wants to seek, save, and send. Here's our job this morning. Church, our job is to hope for people. If somebody has a pulse, that person has hope. And our job is to hope for them and to tell them about the love that God has for them in their affliction, in their mental illness, in their anguish, in their torment, in their darkness, in their guilt. We just want to speak the love of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus, the healing, the wholeness of Jesus. I had a vision this week. I was sick most of the week, and I was laying there in bed, and I was, you know, just wanting to be in the dark. I had this excruciating headache, and we had those really dark shades, and I pulled the shades, and it was like 10 in the morning, and that sun was just coming through the cracks, and I was like, no, I don't want that. But I couldn't keep all the light out of my room because it was so bright. And I began thinking about our church. And I just thought, God's like, yeah, Veritas Church is going to be bright for this community and to all the nations. And that vision has stuck with me. And you guys, nobody goes on vacations to Alaska in the winter. Oh, it's just dark all the time. I just love it, right? People want to be in the sun. People are having more fun in the sun, okay? Veritas Church, let's be a place of brightness, of hope, of healing, even for the people in the darkest darkness, because there's no kind of darkness, there's no kind of evil that Jesus cannot overcome. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we ask that you would reveal your power to us. There are some people this morning, this is like their last, just throwing out a line, saying, God, if you're there, would you just show them that you love them? Would you just invite them into the brightness, the love of Jesus? Give them grace in their affliction. Give them an awe of you where there is fear of darkness. And for those of us Christians that just kind of walk and go through life without remembering that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, help us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Help us to be alert. Help us to be engaged in the kingdom of God. Come and provide for us. Meet our needs, Jesus. We want to be a city on a hill. We want to shine for you. Tell the world about your love. Amazing grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.